nag. She was just really good at being a nag. Have any of you ever been around somebody who just nagged you all the time?
My mom.
Oh! Oh! I knew somebody was going to say that! And I was hoping nobody would. Anyhow, thank you. Now, moms don't nag on purpose, do they? Why would a mother nag? They care. Who said that, a mother? Oh, good. Very good. Moms care so much, you know, that they do tend to say, didn't I tell you to pick that up? Watch your head. Don't hurt yourself. Don't run with that stick in your hand. Because you're going to what? Poke out your eye. Does anybody know anybody that ever had their eye poked out by a stick because they were running with it?
Probably not.
No. I said that to a mom the other day. I says, you know, moms always say, don't run with a stick in your hand because you're going to poke out your eye. And I said, but do you know of any kid that ever had his eye poked out because he was running with a stick? And the mom said, no, it's because us mothers make sure it doesn't happen. I was like, oh, okay. Anyhow, let's look at the story out of Luke chapter 18. It says, Jesus told them a story. Now, it could have been a true story. Showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. Very good. He said, there was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for the people. Yet this guy was a leader. And a widow in that city kept after him. My rights are being violated. Protect me. And he never gave her the time of day. This is the Message Bible. But after this went on and on, he said to himself, I care nothing what God thinks, even less what people think. But because this widow won't quit badgering me, I'd better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her continual pounding. Then the master said, do you hear what that judge, that corrupt as he is, what he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people, who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you, he will. He will not drag his feet. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on earth when he returns? So we know the story. It could very well be true. And in that day, Jesus chose this story on purpose. Because judges were corrupt. And this judge was probably looking for a bribe. And here this widow, a widow, her husband had died. She probably had some money that was owed to her husband. And now that she's a widow, she had a right to this money. But because she was a woman, you know, in that culture and in that society, women didn't have the same position as men, you know. And so, everybody was taking advantage of her. But she was tenacious. She wasn't going to give up. She was going to stick with it until she received exactly what she knew she had coming. All right? Now, Jesus chose this story. And he contrasts this unjust judge to a wonderful judge who is very just, God our Father. And he promises that he will hear our prayer, and he will answer. Now, there's three things that I want to look at, all right? Very simple from this story. And I've never seen this before. So when Pastor Brady asked me to speak on this, you know, I thought, oh, yeah, pray. The very first verse says, the story is so that you'll pray continually, that you'll just keep on praying. All right? Goodbye. Have a nice day. You know, could that be the end of the whole thing? Because that's what he said it's all about. But as I began to look at this, I began to be stirred. The first thing is this. Pray specifically about your individual, very personal needs. Okay? And to pray to pray about injustice. This woman was being mistreated. Has anybody here ever been mistreated? Raise your hand. Okay, good. Mistreated. Maybe you're picked on. Okay? Maybe you're picked on. Maybe your name is... What is it? I'm a... What's your name?
Amadeus.
Maybe your name is Amadeus. Okay? Or maybe your name is Ryan. Where's Ryan? Ryan. Did you have any tape today, Ryan? You had tape. So, here we have an injustice that was perpetrated today in the very hallowed halls of the sanctuary. And what we need for Amadeus. That sounds Latin or something. I mean, it just sounds like it's beautiful. It's Greek. What does it mean, do you know? Thank you for that interpretation of tongues this morning. Praise God, the Spirit is moving. All right, anyhow. What needs to happen? We have these little things that happen, okay? And they might be little, all right? But it's yours, and it's personal. There are injustices, all right? And this woman took it personally, and she took it to this judge, and God is saying, take this, bring it to me. Bring it to me. He cares. You know, we can't just keep showing up to church and reading our Bibles with a la, 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 la kind of, you know, attitude. It's got to be real. It has to be personal. And you need to see results in your prayer life. You must see results. And if you don't, it's not God's fault. There's something about the way you're relating to Him that it's plastic, covered in saran wrap so that He can't penetrate. Okay, so there's got to be this opening up and looking for these injustices. Not to have a pity party or anything. There's a guy named Bobby Richard. He's a former New York Yankees second baseman. And he offered up a prayer that is classic in its brevity and its poignancy. Listen to what he said. Dear God, Your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. Now that it is classic, it's short, and it's a great prayer. But it's not specific. It's not specific. You know, God wants our prayers to be very, very specific. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20, it says, Then came to Him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. Who knows what she asked? She was very specific. What did she want? The mom of two boys, James and John. She said, Jesus, I want something. I want You, Jesus, to take John and put him on one side of You and take my other son and put him on the other side when you come in. Can you do that for me? You know, she was very specific. It was bold and very, very specific. The widow and the judge, and this is so fascinating to me. The widow and the judge have something in common. All right? They were at each other, but they were very much like each other in an interesting way. They were bugged. They were irritated. They were not content. They were not content. The judge just didn't want her to bother him, and she wanted this other person who was withholding something from her to come to justice. She wanted to see him pay whatever he needed to pay or restore, whatever the situation was. They were bugged people. You know, are you bugged? What bugs you? I think that's a really important question. Because if nothing bugs you, you know, you just kind of float through life. It's like, isn't it a lovely rainy day? You know. Isn't it a lovely snowy day? Isn't it a great, hot, blistering day? You know, nothing bugs you. You just kind of like, you know, people stick signs on your back saying, kick me, and you go, oh, that was nice. You know. See, what bugs you? What gets you going? All right? This is really, really important. Because as you read this Bible, you find out that there were people that were irritated. They were fed up. They had it with the system. They had it with relatives. They had it with themselves, their enemies. Look at Gideon. Gideon's a good example, okay? He was upset because the enemies kept stealing all their food. So, what did he do? He had a wine press, okay? He had the wine press there. Here's his wine press. All right? And he's hiding behind the wine press. He's hiding behind the wine press with a little bit of wheat in his hand because he doesn't want the enemy to see his wheat. So he's back there threshing his wheat and he's mad. He's beating this wheat because those rotten enemies, they keep stealing my food. And pretty soon he turns around and goes, ah! This giant angel behind him and says, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. He was hiding behind the wine press. And the angel calls him a mighty man of valor. And then the angel says, go in this thy strength. What was he talking about? Go in this thy bug factor. Go in this thine anger. Go because you are upset. And if you're not upset today, then I question the amount of fire, the amount of vigor that you have in your spirit toward the Lord, because the world today is full of injustice. It's full of injustice. This morning I just Googled quickly, world injustices. It's horrific. You can be glad today that I did not bring a PowerPoint to show you pictures of world injustice. Children being enslaved. Children receiving guns to kill other people with as young as 7 and 8 years old. I saw this. I saw 12 and 14 year olds in the mountains of Guatemala, in the back country area where the rebel army, I forgot the name of it, you know, put these machine guns in the hands of kids, and we're driving by in a car just going, don't shoot, please, we're nice people, you know, in the hands of children. There's injustices, all right? There may be injustices in school. That's big. That's global, okay? I don't know if you can wrap your head around that, okay? But it's got to start someplace. And what about the injustices in your own lives? It's got to be there somewhere, okay? I love this portion of Scripture. Anybody remember the daughters of Zelophehad? Daughters of Zelophehad. All I remember is one of their names, it was Hogla. I just can't imagine naming a cute little baby Hogla. Okay. But they had three daughters. And, of course, the daughters of Zelophehad, who was the son of Hefer. I can't imagine that either. The son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh. We know Manasseh. Okay. The families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of the daughters. Mala, Noah, which I thought was a guy's name, and of course our very Hogla. Oh, there's a fourth one. Milcah. Oh, and Tirzah. This guy had five daughters, all right? And so it came time for the inheritance. The guy didn't have any boys. And these girls come to Moses and they say, hey, injustice, just because we're women, we don't get any land. What's up with this, Moses? Moses is like, whoa, this is heavy. The inheritance always goes to the guys. The girls get nothing. They get married and they go with the inheritance of their husbands. Right? So Moses goes to the Lord and says, God, these five girls, man, I'm wigged out. They're driving me nuts. Okay, Moses is the judge. God says, Moses, they're right. They are right. So these girls, they receive justice. They had an inheritance among the brethren of their father. Okay? So I put that out there because it's important. It's important for us to understand that with these eyes, you can see injustice. And when you're filled with this fire, not rebellion, but you know the kingdom of God is a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. And when those things are not in operation, somebody needs to care. And that's where you come in. Because God wants to move, but He doesn't move until we ask. It's so cool. God has limited Himself to a relationship with His people so that when we cry out, then He moves. Okay. Another character that we know better than the daughters of Zelophehad would be David. Young David. You know, he's the youngest. What does a little squirt in the family know anyhow, right? Dad says, take some food out to your brothers. They're at war right now. So David goes out there and he notices that the Israeli army is cowering before the enemy. What was the enemy's name? What? The Philistines, okay? And who was their, like, the big guy, their champion? Real tall guy. He's kind of ugly. He had a great big old hairy mole on one side of his head. What was his name? Goliath, okay? I made up that last part. Yeah, Goliath, okay? Real nasty giant, right? Okay? He's wearing, like, this jacket made out of, like, pop can lids that he all, like, put together. A jacket of mail. You know, you could actually do that. So he was, like, very well protected. And everybody's like, oh, man, I don't want to go fight him. And this guy, this is Goliath, you know, is real tall. I'd stand on this, but it might not work. And he's yelling down at all of the little Israelis, you know. And David comes along, and he senses injustice. David knew God. You know, and David said, how dare you defy the armies of the living God? That boy had some spunk, okay? He says, I know my God. I know my God. And He's mighty. And God's people should not be cowering before this giant. And everybody was, except for David. All right? That's very cool. I have with me today balloons, okay? And if I take this balloon and I blow this up, ew, that looks used. Here, let's try this one. All right. That'll sound great on the tape. All right. And if I let this go, what's going to happen? Oh, look how far it went. Wow. Can everybody say wow? Wow. Wow. Okay, great. Let's try another balloon. All right, let's let go of this one. Oh! It went this much farther. Wow. Okay, yeah, good, 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 good. All right. Now, let's try this one. I shouldn't laugh at my own joke. Now, if I let this one go... All right, she got in the way. All right, it's not her fault. The more it is filled up, the more it is stretched, the farther it goes. Listen, David knew about the Philistines, you know, somewhat, all right? He knew about them a little bit. Okay. He knew they were at war. And then he got there. And he saw stuff that was going on. He got a little bit more riled, okay? Just a little bit more. It's like he's getting fueled. He's seeing injustice. Then he saw the giant talking, you know, and defying God's people. And he continued to increase and be stretched, all right? In his whole purpose for living and knowing God. Until pretty soon, you know, if I could blow this up enough, it would explode. But I'd scare myself, you know. Until he exploded with the word of the Lord. And then he took action. And this woman in our story, she did exactly the same thing. She did exactly the same thing. All of our injustices or things that feel not fair, God cares about. What about blind Bartimaeus? Just born blind, okay? He took that to the Lord. And he cried out. He cried out. It was at Jericho. And get this. I mean, the guy is there blind. This always cracks me up. I'll read the scripture to you. It's Matthew 10:51. Jesus said unto him, the blind man, What would you like me to do for you? Does that make sense to anybody? The guy's blind, Jesus. You can see that he can't see. And yet Jesus said, what can I do for you? See, the Lord loves it when we ask Him. Even if it should be obvious, He loves it when we ask. And I think this morning it's important for you and for me, for all of us, to stop mumbling in our spirit about our injustices. Sometimes we live with things that are not right for so long. Okay? I was talking with a kid the other day. You know, he is not happy with God because he thinks he should be stronger. Did I tell you this? Okay, good. This kid is not happy with God because of how God made his body. He thinks his arms are too small. All right? I shot senior pictures of him in a football uniform. And, looking from straight on, you know, this dimension did look, you know, a little on the scrawny side. So the family asked me to make his arms bigger in Photoshop. This is a true story. I get paid for making people's arms look bigger in Photoshop. So I did. So I got in there and I took the liquify to him. Got these honking arms. I mean, it looks like nobody wanted to be in front of him. I didn't exaggerate it that much, okay? But, you know, mumbling in our heads about what's not right. You know, I've done this. And instead of mumbling about it, one day I just realized, wait a minute, my God can take care of that. So I prayed and I asked Him to take care of it. And you know, God did. He took care of it like that. He gave me an experience in my head to put myself in somebody else's situation so that I could understand it from their perspective. So now I understood, so to speak, my enemy's perspective, and it didn't bother me anymore. You see, so if you have this complaint that's been there, it could be about, you know, about yourself, it could be about others. God wants us to go to Him in prayer. Should we go to Him in prayer often? Yeah. Should we keep up? Keep asking? Definitely. Listen to what Luke 11:10 says. For everyone that asks, receives. And everyone that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. All right? And there's three words there. There's ask, seek, and knock. And that's how you spell the word, the acronym, ask. Ask, the A, S, seek, and the K, knock. It's not good enough to just ask. It just isn't, sorry. It's not just good enough to seek, you know. If I'm over here and I have a feeling that there are people in this room, all right, and I peek through the window, and then I seek, I take the next step, and nobody's answering the door. See? Thank you. See, that's the way. That's the tenacity. That's the fuel. That's how much air you've got going on in your balloon. All right? And the more you fill that up, the farther you can go in God. It's very important. Very, very important. Now, there are some injustices in our lives that are God's plan. Jesus was treated with great injustice, and it was perfectly all right. It was in the will of the Father. Joseph was, and there are many others. So we just need to know from God, you know, that level of injustice. So that's the first thing. Where is there injustice, and how vehement, how pumped up can you be about that? Can you seek God for that, like this woman in the story? And then the second thing is that we want to pray with an urgency. You know, with, I need the answer, and I need it right now. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And in the original language, it has the idea, thy kingdom come right now, and desperate. All right? That's how God wants us to pray. We don't feel that in the English, okay? But in the original language, there's this immediacy. I thought of making a video for you guys this morning. I didn't have time. Of this gimme, gimme, gimme thing. As a matter of fact, there's a song. I thought it was gimme, 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 gimme. But it's not. It's money, 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 money. So I couldn't use it. But it's a it's that same idea, though, of like, gimme, gimme, gimme. In my mind, I saw, you know, like my little sister in the shopping cart when she was a child, and she just wanted everything. My mom would go down the aisle, and she'd be grabbing stuff off the shelves, you know. And there's just this attitude of, I want, I want. And that's a great attitude to have toward the Lord. Not as a spoiled brat, you know, but we are children, and that's part of being a child. This urgency. W.C. Fields was in a hospital. He was dying, and a friend was visiting him in his room. And the friend was shocked because W.C. Fields was not a godly man. Yet he was holding a Bible. There was a sense of urgency because he knew he was going to die. And his friend said, Fields, what are you doing? And he's flipping through the Bible. He goes, I'm looking for a loophole. Because he knew he was on his way to his eternal destiny. And he was searching at that last minute. Immediacy, you know, an urgency that God wants us to have in our spirit. And then the last thing is, of course, that we pray continually. First of all, where's the injustice? What is it that fires you up? Secondly, you know, pray with an urgency. You know, you've got to have an answer and you've got to have it now. And the last thing is that we pray continually. You know, some things just don't stop, like your heart. If it stops, you're dead. Like the rotation of the earth, you know, around the sun, okay? Or like animals, you know, we can learn so much from them. The ants, they're always working, continual, perpetual motion. You know, bumblebees, we learn this from nature. They're always doing exactly what God program them to do. They're looking for nectar. They buzz around. They find nectar. They build the hive, okay? And God has made you and I, like these things in nature, to have a continual mode of operation, a continual purpose. And that purpose is to meet with Him and communicate with Him continually. You know, I see kids all the time when they've got somebody that they really like. They text away, you know, I don't know how, you know, just incredible, constant connection with their friends, all right? It's that way with our Lord as well. We're to have that, well, I don't know if you can get text messages, but, you know, we can stay in this continual state of prayer with Him. The Bible is very clear in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing in the King James. Pray all the time in the Message Bible. Another translation says, pray continually. Why do we have to keep on asking God? Why not just, you know, why don't we just get what we want right away? After all, the Scripture says, before they call, I will answer. Before they finish speaking, I will have heard their requests. And that does happen sometimes. Generally speaking, God loves, just loves, when His people are drawing close to Him, you know. And He sets things up. He orchestrates everything so that we can be in sweet fellowship, hanging out with Him all the time. All the time. You know. What's your name?
Jason.
Jason, where do you live? You live in Rochester. What's your address? Why is that funny? Does he have a funny address? Six, 6291. This guy knows where he lives. He knows where he lives. That's fantastic. What's your address? 3676 Normandy Drive. See, everybody knows where they live. Right? Now, if we're to be in his house, okay, we're to be together with him, we should know where we live. And we live in a constant state of prayer. That's where we live. See? There's a physical address and there's a spiritual address. And people whose minds are set... Today I had to stop by the school. There's all kinds of athletes over there. Where do they live? Well, they might live at 722-4576 West Normandy Drive. Okay. But where they spiritually live, they live in a gym. Because some of them, that's their lives are sports. Don't live at school spiritually. Don't live in your favorite classroom spiritually. Don't live near your locker with all your friends spiritually. But your address, we're citizens of heaven. Your address is heavenly. And so like this woman, she was being mistreated. Some of us here may be mistreated. It might be in the will of the Lord, but it might not. There may be enemies like Goliath. You might be like the daughters of Zelophehad, that you want something, and you see it's available. Okay, go for it. All right? Go for it with an urgency. You've got to have it. You've got to have it. And then, of course, pray continually, because that's our dwelling place. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, I so thank you for this awesome group. Lord, this is like, I've been coming for like 4 years, and, you know, through everybody who comes here, Lord, with a word from you, a living word, you are building your church in this place. You're building your presence in each of these precious hearts. Lord, it's evident, it's clear. By the hunger and the thirst and the response to you. And Father, I pray that you will teach us to pray like this widow. That you will show us what we're bugged about. We'll not grumble and complain in our spirit, but we'll take action before you and see you move. Because injustices prevail in the world and also in our own little lives. And you can move us to prayer through these things. And then let us understand that there's an urgency. This widow came with an urgency in her spirit, and she prayed continually. How much more will you move in our behalf, precious Heavenly Father, when we come to you? Cause us to know our spiritual address. Lord, that our prayer lives are so crucial to the formation of your nature and character in each one of us. And Lord, I pray today that this will not simply be some sort of theory, but as was mentioned earlier in prayer by our brother, Lord, that we will take action and that we will see you take action, because your word says beyond the shadow of a doubt that if we draw nigh unto you, that you will draw nigh unto us. And great things will happen when there's this kind of unity. We thank you and we praise you. And everybody who wants it said, amen. Bless you guys.